and a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Saturday afternoon. As I'm here with you for 1 hour today from 6 p.m., which is now, until 7 o'clock this afternoon on what has been an absolute scorcher in the Boston metro area and throughout the Northeast. This heat wave, I'm telling you, there has absolutely been not a whole lot of good that's come from this heat wave, especially if you're a Boston Red Sox fan. If anything, it's pretty fair to say at this moment in time that they're in a pretty much in a slump phase, if you will. And that's exactly how we're going to start the show off, by talking about the Red Sox. If you want to call in, you can call in. The phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program as I'm here with you for an hour today. Now, I haven't been on the airwaves here in a little bit. A lot of things have been going on in my life away from the radio station, in which that it has prohibited me from being here as much as I normally had been previously in the past. But with all of that being said, I have managed to still keep an eye on the Boston Red Sox, what they are doing, what they aren't doing, how have they played, and how well they have not been playing, how badly they have been playing, etc., etc. You know the whole spiel. But now, here we are on July 23rd, as we are now approaching the month of August in earnest. We have to have an honest talk, a very honest and poignant talk here. I haven't been on the radio airwaves here at WMFO in a bit. And for those of you that are listening and are happy to hear me back on the radio airwaves, I got a lot of ish to get off my chest as it pertains to the Boston Red Sox. A lot. So I'm going to start right away, right here, right now. If you want one man to blame ultimately for the Boston Red Sox failures up until this point, look at one person, or one person only, John Henry. Start there. What about Chaim Bloom? Oh, Chaim Bloom is absolutely the next person in the pecking order. But start with John Henry. Because the hiring of Chaim Bloom was the perfect move for a man who was slowly and surely distancing himself from the day-to-day operations of the Boston Red Sox. Because everyone can agree that there was a time in which that John Henry was very much involved with what was going on with the Boston Red Sox. That was not that long ago. Now, and I think this is worth bearing and worth saying on the air, it's pretty clear that John Henry does not give a damn as much about the Boston Red Sox as much as he once did when he first took over the owner, him and the ownership group first took over back in 2002. I mean, you think about it. When he first took over, and I'm talking about him, Larry Lucchino, Tom Werner, the entire ownership group took over in 2002. At that time, the Boston Red Sox hadn't won a World Series since 1918. We all know what happened in 2003 and in 2004, the year they finally broke through. But make no mistake, they went out and they hired a general manager and Theo Epstein that went out, that made the trades, signed key players, none more bigger than David Ortiz, who is getting inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame tomorrow, no less, amongst many others. We know that even after Epstein was let go and they brought in Ben Cherington, he went out and ownership, which included John Henry, gave the green light go out and sign X, Y, and Z. Go out and sign this player. Make this trade, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When Dave Dombrowski was around, he was given the green light to basically spin. In 2018, when the Red Sox won the World Series, the Red Sox had the highest, if not one of the highest, payrolls in baseball. That wasn't a coincidence. So when the Red Sox failed to make the postseason in 2019, and Dave Dombrowski was let go during that final month of that regular season, John Henry had a realization somewhere during that period of time. Maybe it was before. Wait, you can win and spend less money? Ha! Why not? Let's go and hire Chaim Bloom. Chaim Bloom was brought in for the purpose of finding those quote-unquote diamond in the rough and have them perform, or at least hope that they would perform at a high level in which that they would be able to cut costs while replacing the production in the lineup from departed guys such as Mookie Betts, who was traded in February of 2020. Here is one problem that John Henry failed to realize. For those of you that have been listening to this program and have been listening to me for a long time now, as I've been on this station now since July of 3 years ago, 2019, I have said this many times. You don't win the World Series cutting corners with moneyball tactics. You don't win the World Series that way. And in 2020, that was the proof. And this is when Chaim Bloom was here by that point. But by that point, in October of 2020, the imprints that Chaim Bloom had already made on the Tampa Bay Rays organization was already felt throughout. But you saw the remnants of that. An analytics decision that was made in that fateful Game 6 of the 2020 World Series backfire in the worst way possible. Analytics does not win you championships. So in 2022, as the Red Sox entering today, they are just a measly 2 games above 500. They are now debating, and when I say they, I mean the fan base. I'm pretty sure that front office is pretty much set in that decision that they might as well sell at this point. I'm pretty sure of that, especially after last night. More on last night a little later on in the segment. That last night was just another reason why John Henry says, why do I have to invest into this team? And the results are showing on the field. Last year was a surprise. It was a surprise that the Red Sox got to Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. No one expected that. Even the most ardent of Red Sox fans that I know have proven that again and again and again. And they have even told me, like, we didn't expect them to get to Game 6 of the ALCS. Even though that the Red Sox were leading 2-1 against the Astros, we all know how the series ended. So we're not going to revisit. But going into this year, the 2022 season, they go out and they sign Trevor Story. And I brought this up on Twitter at the time in which that, wow, there's a big free agent signing there, Trevor Story. But with that, a short time after, I came to the realization that, wait a minute, what does that mean for Xander Bogaerts? What does that mean for Rafael Devers? What does it mean in terms of big picture? Well, we got our answer now, a measly 3.5 months later. A roster that was poorly constructed. It was constructed with the hopes and the beliefs that we can find the diamond in the rough. We can find guys that have terrific launch angles and BABIP and all that fun stuff. Meanwhile, your team is currently struggling mightily against the American League East. And they have been struggling all season long against winning teams, let alone your divisional rivals. And what makes it particularly worse is this, is that yesterday, for those who follow me on Twitter, at Shukri Writes, I posted a video talking about how this was the most important 13-game stretch for the Boston Red Sox franchise in quite some time. That was yesterday morning. That was before we witnessed the colossal ass-kicking that the Toronto Blue Jays delivered to the Boston Red Sox 28-5 last night. As I was getting interviewed by Sports Map Radio last night on National Sports Radio, the update was made. The Red Sox were leading 22-3. I laughed so hard on National Sports Radio because that moment I realized the Red Sox got exactly what they deserved. This is the byproduct of what happens when you don't invest into your big league team. To hell with their prospects, because I can't understand for the life of me why are you so attracted and so horned up for prospects. Let's be honest. We don't know how they're going to pan out. You don't know how Tristan Casas is going to pan out. You don't know how Anthony Volpe is going to pan out on a big league level. There were a few prospects in baseball that you can honestly say that, you know what? That guy is going to make an immediate impact on a big league club. Very few and far and in between. But the Red Sox on the Heim Bloom, the perfect example and the perfect shield, so to speak. It's about building the farm system with prospects. It's about the future. It's about the future. The future, the future, the future. Cool. It's about the future. Great. Let me ask you this question, Boston. What the hell happens if it doesn't work? And that's a very serious question. Very serious question. Because if there's one thing that I know for a fact that cannot be argued, because I'm not arguing with opinions or emotions, I'm arguing with facts. You can't win a championship if you're using or trying to utilize the shortcut to try to conduct business. It didn't work in Tampa Bay. Yeah, you were successful in the regular season. Great. But come October, fail. F is the grade that you got. Go ask the Oakland A's under Billy Beane. How has that worked? Oh, that's right. It hasn't. And during that 20-year stretch, from 98 until 2017 or whatever, the Oakland A's got to the ALCS a grand total of one stinking time. Once. That's it. So now you got the nerds that are coming into the Fenway, coming to One Jersey Street. And you got the nerds that are like enthralled, or should I say, in love, or obsessed over Franchi Cordero has had bad luck at the plate. To hell with bad luck. Tell me when bad luck or good luck has won you ball games in Major League Baseball. Go ahead and tell me. Minus the fluky plays, minus the one bounce hops that goes between the leg of the fielder, minus all of those things, we're talking about pure luck. When has that won you ball games in Major League Baseball? I'll wait. Right. It doesn't always happen. So if you're the Boston Red Sox, and if you're a Red Sox fan, and I say this with sincerity, I don't know how in the hell are you not convinced that this thing should be sellers at this point. I don't see how. I don't get how. Because even right now, with the Red Sox trailing 3-1 in the top of the seventh inning against the Toronto Blue Jays, one night after getting absolutely waxed by the same Blue Jays team in which Jarred Duran, who, I mean, what an absolute spineless individual in center field, not only loses the ball in the twilights, whatever, but you don't even hustle to go get the ball. But then post-game, you want to come up with a laissez-faire excuse as to why you didn't hustle. I'm sorry. If I was Alex Cora, I would have benched him today. For me to even see him in the starting lineup was just like, wow, excellent. So you're rewarding lackadaisical effort. Oh, you don't have much of a choice because you got guys that are injured right now. Congratulations. You know what Jarred Duran should be right now? Not with the Red Sox. He should be with the Worcester AAA team. That's where he should be. But as far as Chaim Bloom is concerned, I sincerely believe that the Red Sox are in for an extreme rude awakening. Not only if Chaim Bloom does not re-sign Bogaerts, who I am at 99% convinced is not coming back to the Boston Red Sox at the end of this season. He's not going to re-sign here long term. And Rafael Devers, whose contract expires after next year. Because, come on, folks. You don't think Rafael Devers is paying attention to how Red Sox front office is dealing with Bogaerts now in terms of his contract situation? You don't think they're probably going to do the same thing to Devers a year from now? Come on. If you don't think so, then you are really naive. You are either really naive or you're not paying close enough attention. And that I can't help you with. So with all of that being said, if you are the Boston Red Sox, if you are Chaim Bloom, if you're John Henry, you are truly at a crossroads. This is your first crossroads as a leadership group, so to speak. In the Chaim Bloom, John Henry era, this is your first major test. The test wasn't trading Mookie Betts because although a lot of Red Sox fans didn't want Mookie Betts to be traded at the end of the 2019 season, the writing was on the wall. The writing was on the wall. And now you're seeing history replay itself out again. And right now, let me pose to you this question, Red Sox fans. How concerned are you about this team? Not only just this year. Not only just this year, but next year and beyond. How concerned are you? Be honest. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Because I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. Chaim Bloom is not the only general manager in town who has a lot to be concerned about. I'll tell you another general manager who I think has some serious questions to answer in very short order. I'm going to tell you exactly who that is and what I'm referring to coming up next on the other side of this break. This is the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio.
Hi. This is Birds Make Birds.
And you're listening to Freeform Radio.
91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford.
The girl, let's get it on.
Yo, what up? Yo, this is Ghostface. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is. One.
With coke and a dollar bill, stems and crack capsules.
It's beautiful, beautiful, it's bittersweet. You're like a broken home to me. I take a shot of memories and black out like an empty street. I fill my days with the way you walk and fill my nights with broken dreams. I make up lies inside my head like one day you'll come back to me. Now I'm not holding on, not holding on. I'm just depressed that you're gone. Not holding on, not holding on. Beautiful mistakes I make inside my head. She's naked in my bed. It's beautiful, it's bittersweet. You're like a broken home to me. I take a shot of memories and black out like an empty street. I fill my days with the way you walk and fill my nights with broken dreams. I make up lies inside my head like one day you'll come back to me. Now I'm not holding on, not holding on. I'm just depressed that you're gone. Not holding on, not holding on. Beautiful mistake.
Let you
Usually I like my situations beneficial. Doing something different got me looking stupid. The only way I'm coming back to you is if you're dreaming. Lucid, prove it. If you made a promise, then keep it. Why you wanna lie and then get mad? I don't believe it. But really, I was doing just fine without you. Looking fine, sipping wine, dancing no club couches. Baby, why you wanna lose me like you don't need me? Like I don't block you and you still try to reach me. How you figure out how to call me from the TV? You running out of chances and this time I mean it. Yeah, that you miss my love all in your bed. Now you're stressing, not pulling your hair. Smelling your pillows and wishing I was there. Sliding down the shower wall like a sad. I know it's hard to let go, I'm the best. Best you ever had and best you gon' get. If we break up, I don't wanna be friends. You're toxic.
Beautiful mistakes.
Welcome back to the Shakira Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Tusby Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in as I'm here with you until 7 o'clock Eastern Time as I'm happy to be here with you on this Saturday afternoon. If you're out there, please stay cool. It is really hot and I'm even amazed that people are still willing to go out in this heat and just walk around. I mean, I myself did that earlier, and I was just like, yeah, nah, this ain't it for me, bud. But I have a job to do, which was here to come to do the show, which I'm doing currently right now, which is why I happily said, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. So here we are, and when you got a job to do, you're expected to do the job pretty well. That's a fact. And when you don't do that job well, questions begin to pop up, to surface. People start talking. And a lot of people locally in these parts are talking a lot about one particular man who has held a very important position here in New England, specifically with the New England Patriots over the last 2 years, and that is one Bill Belichick. And the reason why I bring up Bill Belichick's name is because Bill Belichick is someone who we all can agree whose legacy in the annals of NFL history is pretty much cemented. It's pretty much booked. You're going to have people that are going to say things like, well, Belichick hasn't done this or hasn't done that since Brady left. And all of those things are fair. But for me, there is one reason why I am genuinely concerned. I'm very concerned for the 2022 New England Patriots and their plan for the upcoming 2022 season, in which training camp is slated to start on Wednesday. First day of training camp practice is Wednesday, as far as that we know of. So, why the concern? Because a couple of days ago, on Thursday, it was announced that the Patriots had finalized their coaching staff for the 2022 New England Patriots. And a lot of people have been wondering, what is Matt Patricia and Joe Judge's job title going to be? I, for one, had been curious for a pretty long time myself, since Belichick had brought back both guys back to New England. And let's be honest, neither one of those two men are going to be taking over for Bill Belichick anytime soon, as Belichick is now 70 years old. So, with all of that being said, here are the job titles for Matt Patricia and Joe Judge for the upcoming season. So, it looks like Joe Judge is going to be an offensive assistant quarterback coach. Matt Patricia is going to be a senior football advisor offensive line coach. So what does that mean? That means that the Patriots do not have an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. At least that is named officially. Okay. Let's talk about that. And I can talk about that with you. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I tweeted this out the other day, in which why I said that this was a concern. And there were people that are out there, which to my own surprise, I couldn't believe some of the things that I was seeing on Twitter, especially in relations to what I had tweeted out, both in a tweet and as well as a video content that I post on Twitter, that, oh, this is not the first time that the Patriots have done something like this. Oh, you must be new to the team or following to the team or whatnot. That's funny, because people would say, well, Belichick did this back in 2010, which is true. In 2010, the New England Patriots, specifically Bill Belichick, had a very similar instance where he didn't have an official offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator and so forth in 2010, which is true. But what he did have at the time was this. He had a guy named Tom Brady, who was in his 10th year in the NFL, 10th year starter, and 3 Super Bowls underneath his belt. That's what he had then. In 2022, what does Bill Belichick have? He has, of course, 6 Super Bowls, but none since he decided to let Tom Brady go and play elsewhere. And a second-year quarterback in Mac Jones, in which he has a lot to basically shoulder upon himself, and a lot that he's going to be taking on during this 2022 season. And I'll be the first to tell you, this is not a recipe for a success. It's not. It truly isn't. Because for the hardos that are out there, and for those that are in the camp of, oh, it's Bill Belichick, he'll figure it out. Oh, and Bill and we trust, like, you guys aren't seeing the point. You guys aren't seeing the reality of how troublesome this truly is. In the NFL, when you have a second-year quarterback, you need to have continuity. You need to be able to have that guy that you can say, you know what, that guy is the guy that's playing the calls on offense. This is my offensive coordinator. This is what he likes to call. This is what he wants to call. This is what he sees, or this is what the quarterback sees. They'll meet together on the sideline or even during practice or even time after practice or before practice or an off day somewhere, and they'll talk about the play calling. They'll talk about the type of packages they like to run on the field. Here's one problem. The guy who did that for the Patriots last year, Josh McDaniel, gone. He's with the Las Vegas Raiders now. And they got something going out there in the desert, ladies and gentlemen. They got a number one receiver for Derek Carr. Who's that number one receiver? Devontae Adams. The Patriots, who's their offensive coordinator? We don't even know. We don't know. And let's just assume, I'm going to take it a whole other level now. Let's assume that it's Bill Belichick. If it's Bill Belichick, okay, he's not officially calling himself the offensive coordinator. Fine. But if it's Bill Belichick who is going to be calling the plays, how comfortable are you with Bill Belichick taking on more responsibility as he's getting older? You see, these are the questions that you got to ask. He's getting older. He's not getting any younger. His son is on the coaching staff. As for what his role is, I mean, we do know that he's going to be working on the defensive side of the ball. That is Steve Belichick. But as far as Bill Pops is concerned, how confident are you that Bill is going to be able to shoulder the load and be able to continue to develop Mac Jones? How confident are you? My confidence level is not very high. It truly isn't. So, understand this now, and I'm going to put this out there. If Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots offense gets off to a sluggish start, blame Bill Belichick, not Mac Jones. Because there is no freaking way in hell that a second-year quarterback should have that to all worry about in addition to continue to take that step forward as an NFL quarterback. The expectations are high for Mac Jones, right? How do you expect him to succeed if you're not putting him in the position to succeed? Bill Belichick, in the second year that Tom Brady was the starter, he had an offensive coordinator. Who was that? Charlie Weiss. Remember the 2002 Patriots? That was Charlie Weiss. That was during the first half of the dynasty. You had that. Patrick Mahomes, he had that. Eric Bieniemy. Joe Burrow, he has that in Cincinnati. Justin Herbert, he has that with the LA Chargers. Mac Jones, he doesn't have that. At least officially that we know of, and that's problematic. So as training camp starts in 4 short days, how can you honestly, truthfully feel so confident in Bill Belichick and what he's doing right now that everything is going to work out in the end for Mac Jones as far as this season is concerned? Because, again, just because Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots got to the playoffs last year, oh by the way, who got absolutely manhandled in Buffalo against the Bills, 47-17. The fact that even then, he still is on the hot seat. I really believe that. I truly do. Because I'm going to remind all of you right here, right now, the Patriots, they were 9-4 at one point last season. They stumbled. They stumble down the stretch. They lose in the wild card round in Buffalo against the Bills. And we're going into the 2022 season. You don't have an offensive coordinator. You don't know, at least we don't know, who is going to be calling the plays for the New England Patriots, offensive plays, that is. We don't know. And the fact that that's even a secret is rather a bit asinine. Because my question to Bill is, why exactly is that a secret? What type of competitive advantage do you honestly think you're getting out of that? Tell me. Tell us all. Please do. Because I don't see the competitive advantage of you keeping it to yourself. What advantage do you honestly have in regards to Mac Jones in terms of making sure he becomes that premier quarterback that you hope that he'd become? Because right now, it's all based on hope. Right now, it's all based on what he does come this season. I'm not going to read too much into preseason, what he does or doesn't do in preseason. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm most concerned about, ladies and gentlemen, is what he does come week one. That's my concern. That's the number one concern, and that's what the concern should be. When week one comes around, and week one is September the 11th against the Dolphins in Miami. From week one on, that's what I'm most worried about. I don't care about preseason statistics. I don't care about, oh, he looked phenomenal in the preseason. Oh, that sounds nice. What he does against the Dolphins, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Packers, the Lions, the Browns, every team that is on the 2022 schedule is what is going to ultimately matter. And if Bill Belichick goes into the season and gets off to a sluggish start, like the offense is not clicking the way that he'd hoped that it would be, understand the scrutiny that's going to come his way. So I don't want to hear his grumpy ass go in front of the podium after a game or after a loss, short-worded, short-versed, any of that, because people were asking you the important questions during the offseason, and you seemingly were pretty light-lipped and pretty tight-lipped. You are pretty tight-lipped, and you don't want to tell anybody as to what exactly was the plan moving forward. Or was there ever truly a plan? Let's be honest. But this is where we are. This is exactly where we are now. So congratulations. I am concerned. Well, you must be new to following the team. No, Sherlock. You look around the NFL, and you look at the young quarterbacks that are in this league right now. Every single one of them has an offensive coordinator, has someone that have continuity with, that has been calling the offensive play calls on the field. Right now, you don't know, I don't know, we don't know who the hell it is. And that's where we are. Man, I got a lot of thoughts for you, ladies and gentlemen, because it's been a minute since I've been on the air, and I got some more stuff to share with you before we wrap up the show at 7 o'clock. So stick around here for some thoughts I have not shared on radio in quite some time. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusby from radio. This is the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
This is Brian Grinahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Yo, listen up. Here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue. Like him. Inside and outside, blew his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen.
I'm blue, I've a need, I've a died.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford's US Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad to be here with you on this Saturday afternoon. It is wicked hot out. And I know I've said this before, but I can't say this enough. It's hot as hell outside. And I hope you're enjoying yourself listening to the program, listening to me ramble on and rant on for the last 50 minutes as we approach the end of the show. It's been a blast being back here with you doing this program. As I mentioned, there's been a lot that's been going on away from the station over the last few weeks and whatnot. So there's a lot of things that are happening, and I figure that now would be a good time to kind of like let you in a little bit on as to what's going on. As I normally don't get personal, I normally don't get, you know, sentimental on here a ton. It hasn't happened in a while. You know, like 3 years I've been hosting the show here on 91.5 FM WMFO, and it's been an incredible ride so far during these 3 years. And, you know, through it all, you know, I've gone through an awful lot during these 3 years. You know, starting the show and, you know, the early days of the growing pains of, you know, how to do radio and, you know, how to, like, conduct myself on the air and all that fun stuff. And through it all, I feel like one of the things that I've really enjoyed most is being able to talk to you, the callers, the listeners, those who do listen and enjoy what I have to say, enjoy the content that I post on social media and all of my crazy takes, whether you agree or disagree. And even then, all of that, I realize it comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. And the cost of greatness oftentimes involves you getting haters from places you never even thought that you would get them from, whether if it's on, especially on social media, no less in real life sometimes, unfortunately. Which is part of the reason why I realized as I was doing this show that, you know, one of the things that you learn along the way in this journey, because it's been one hell of a journey so far, is you learn to completely just shut off the noise and just do what you do best. That's what you do. You turn off the noise and you just block out the haters. And it's something that I feel like I've done a hell of a whole lot better of a job at in the most recent of times. Because there came a point in time where I said, you know what? Enough is enough. I gotta really teach myself to say, hey, you know what? Ignore the noise. Because people are gonna be people. Especially online. But online, more importantly, is not real life. It's not. It's just a vehicle for me to reach as many people as possible. And it's a wonderful vehicle at that. It has its pluses, it has its minuses, but the pluses definitely outweighs the minuses for sure. I don't think I'm sitting here today telling you, the listener, that yours truly has been selected to be part of a national television commercial without the power of social media. Yes, that is in fact true and correct. I have been selected to be a part of a national television commercial with Fanatics. And it is something that is truly remarkable, truly an honor, truly something that I am grateful to God, first and foremost. Alhamdulillah. All things belongs and is due to God alone, because he's the one that blessed me with it. He's the one that blessed me to even find out about the opportunity. And it's something that I don't take very lightly at all. I mean, how many people in their lifetime get to say that they were part of a national television commercial that's going to be airing in perpetuity, which means it's going to be airing forever? There's no expiration date. Not many people get to say that. And I've been honored. And it's such a huge honor, and it's something that I don't take lightly at all. And one of the reasons why I do what I do, and this is not going to be the first commercial that I'll be a part of in 2022. Many of you may remember, this past spring, I was part of the Boston Bruins playoff commercial, which aired on NESN. Still out there. That video, that commercial is still out there. It doesn't air anymore, obviously. But you can go on, like, the Bruins Instagram page, or you can go on the Bruins social media site. It's out there still. But I was a part of that. So, behind closed doors, away from social media, there has been a lot of major moves that I have been making by the grace and the permission of the Almighty. And I'm sincerely grateful for it all. And I really mean that with every inch of my heart. So when I said earlier in the show that there has been a lot been going on away from WMFO, there is a lot of truth to that. That's just one thing that's going on. There's some more other things that are going on that are really good. That is really tremendous. That was the one announcement I hadn't even posted on social media, at least as of yet. But I figured that I'd use my radio show as a platform to announce that I am going to be part of a national television commercial for Fanatics in very short order. That's as far as I can go. I'm very excited for it. I'm very excited for the opportunity. And it's something that I don't take for granted at all. And I don't think anybody here should ever take for granted how far they've come. Because in this crazy journey called life, it is quite, and I do mean quite the journey. And that's probably putting it very nicely, to say the least. And as we are now at the end of the show, I just want to quickly say thank you to all of you who have tuned in today. It's been absolutely wonderful to be back here with you here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, you're going to have Mint Green by DJ Sweet D. That's coming up from 7 to 8 p.m. here on the Saturday evenings. Continue to stay cool. It is going to be absolutely hotter tomorrow. Yes, it's going to be hotter. So please, in all seriousness, stay cool, stay hydrated, do everything you can to keep cool in this heat wave. This is Shukri Writes signing off, saying thank you to all who have tuned in today. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.